So anyways, you guys, I'm so excited for this morning. Oh, I've been waiting for this moment my whole life. Oh, all right. So we are in the second week of our dating series. Ooh, this is my favorite. You guys, I'm telling you, I love this. So for those of you that weren't here last week, welcome. Welcome to our dating series with GSM. It's called Hit Me Up. I want to give a little bit of background on that. All right. Here's where the name for this series came from. So I don't know if any of you have ever done this before or used this, but like the longer that I have been like on social media and have seen like just like what's happening on Instagram and everywhere else and like Snapchat and all this stuff, it's crazy. One of my favorite things is that whenever people follow the Green Student Ministry account, like we follow everybody back that follows us. So like we follow you guys on social media and on Instagram, and it's very interesting, and it's kind of funny sometimes. So you guys are doing well, but there are some things that I see that I think is kind of prevalent, and one of them is like, whenever people get bored or they're like, oh, like, what else is there to do? They, like, post a picture with their face or they post a picture of just, like, it's just black. Like, it's, like, dark in their room. And it's just, like, HMU. And it's, like, hit me up. I just want to talk to someone. I'm bored. I need somebody to talk to. I want to chit-chat. I don't know. I want to chit-chat. I want to talk to someone. And, like, here's the thing. Stuff like that has been around for a super long time. For those of you that don't know, back in the original like instant messaging days, there was this thing called AOL Instant Messenger, and that was the stuff. Like that was it. It's the OG of messaging, of contacting people. It was crazy. And so in like your you had like an away message or like a kind of a status that you could post about like where you were at. Like if somebody messaged you and you weren't responding, they could like check your status and it's like, oh, in the kitchen cooking with mom. Like, so it's like, oh, they're gone. They're not here. Or playing games with Daniel. And it's like, oh, they're not here. But there were some times where people would just like throw out like these statuses that were like super bored, up to talk to anyone. Like send me an IM. That's what we call it. Send me an IM. Send me an instant message. And it's basically the same thing as HMU. It's basically the same thing as hit me up. It's this like, I'm super bored. I don't have anybody to talk to. Or I do have someone to talk to, but there's like a certain someone out there that I really want them to like message me. And so this is kind of like a cry for like, you should talk to me. That's what it is. All right. Most of the time, whenever somebody posts hit me up, it is for like a specific person. All right, and you can tell almost who that message is for based on like the caption below the picture. And if it's like, had a really sad day, like just feeling really sad. But then the top is like, hit me up, looking to talk. And it's like, I'm looking for somebody to make me feel better about myself. And if it's, I don't know why, but typically only people that I see post this are mostly girls. And I've seen a couple boys post, but I think like the majority it's girls. And for the most part, I feel like it's like, there's a boy out there that I really want to talk to me. And I'm like, I'm giving you permission to send me a message. Like, that's what it is. And it is this, it's like, I see it and I'm almost like, this is like a desperate cry for help. It's a desperate cry for help. Someone talk to me. And I think that a lot of the times we associate relationships or dating or other things like that with communicating over like text messages or Snapchat or Instagram or whatever else, like WhatsApp or whatever other texting app that you use through your iPod or whatever. Like a lot of the times our idea of dating looks like texting and like nothing else. And I'm going to talk about why that should not probably be our ideal situation. All right? So I feel like for the most part, whenever we jump into a dating series, at least for like the last couple years that I've done this, I stand up here and I'm like, this is bad about dating, and this is bad about dating, and this is bad, and this is bad, and this is bad, and you shouldn't date. And that's what I've done in the past. Well, I want to try and flip it and be a little more positive this year. All right? And so we are going to look at what does it look like for like a thriving, flourishing, amazing relationship. What does the Bible have to say about that? All right? And so that's why last week we started in the book of Colossians chapter 3 and we looked at what friendships look like because we said that friendships were the foundation of every other relationship. Like you have to be friends in order to be best friends. A good relationship, like good boyfriend, girlfriend, all that stuff has a foundation in friendship, right? We said the friend zone is the best zone. All right. And for those of you that laugh at me, I was in the friend zone for 2.5 years and I got out. I did it. And now me and Brittany are married and it's amazing. So I did it. I actually didn't do anything. She like, it was all her. And so I don't, sometimes it's a mystery to me. I think sometimes it's a mystery to her. She's like, who are you? What's going on? So anyways, if you guys have your Bibles, go ahead and flip over to the book of Colossians. Colossians is in the New Testament. And we're going to be in chapter 3. So it's like 3/4 of the way through your Bible. It's a small letter. It's only got a couple chapters. If you're around Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, it's Colossians is after Philippians. So if you start to get to those ones with the I-A-N, Galatians, Philippians, Ephesians, once you start to get there, you're getting close. All right? So we're going to jump into Colossians 3. And so again, remember last week we talked about the fact that our relationship with God is first and foremost, all right? But however our relationship with God is, that affects our friendships. Like, that affects our other relationships here on earth. And so the fact is, you can tell almost somebody's view of God or how they really see God based on how they treat other people. So a lot of the way that we treat others, a lot of the way that we see other people, it is completely influenced by the way that we see God and how we think that he sees us. If we understand that he's loving, if we understand that he gave his life up for us, that should affect and change the way that we see other people and the way that we interact with them. We talked about the fact that the way that you see someone treat their friends is probably a good indication of the way that they will treat you. If you're like, man, we should totally date. We should get together. And so here we're going to start in verse 18. And so of chapter 3. And here's the thing. I've looked for like the last couple weeks. I've been like scouring the Bible and scripture for like where in here does it talk about what a good, healthy dating relationship looks like? And guess what? I couldn't find it. It's not in here. You want to know why? Because the good, the best, like the most thriving relationship stuff that the Bible talks about is marriage. All right? And so I know for some of you, don't check out on me. All right? Because we're going to talk about this morning. But here's the deal. Dating is supposed to get you to be married. I know that's crazy. It's like a crazy concept for some of you. Like, what? Dating is meant, like in our cultural context, to figure out, could I marry this person? All right? I want to know how many of you in here, you don't have to raise, please don't raise your hand. Just think to yourself, if you're dating somebody, if your boyfriend and girlfriend, whatever that means for you, if that is where you're at, if right now I was like, that person that you're dating, you're going to marry them tomorrow, would you break up with them immediately? Like either you break up or by this time tomorrow, we're having a ceremony. I'm going to walk you guys down the aisle. I'm going to stand right here and we're going to have a ceremony, a marriage ceremony right here in the middle school room. We're going to invite your friends and family. It's going to be great. It's going to be insane. All right. How many of you at that point would be like, okay, yes, I'm in. Like who? Now think to yourself. Yeah, we have one person, Abby Pritchard, right there. All right, so, yeah. But for those of you who are students, all right, think about this. Because if your answer is, oh my gosh, I need to break up with this person. Like, either you break up with them or you're with them forever, for the rest of your life. If you're like, we should probably break up, even though you're not having a marriage ceremony tomorrow, you should probably break up. Just because The idea of dating is supposed to be something in our culture that pushes us to marriage. Like, I don't even know, I wish I could have found more history on this of like when dating culture started and what that looks like. Because here's the thing, dating culture now looks totally different to dating culture like when your parents dated or your grandparents dated. It's completely, like it's totally different just because now we communicate differently. There's a lot of other things that are going on and it's crazy, all right? But the push is when you date somebody, you need to be asking yourself, could I marry this person? And if the answer is heck no, then you probably should not be dating that person. So, I don't want to talk down to you guys this morning, like, because I think this is important. And so we're gonna talk about marriage this morning. And I know that that sounds terrifying, but I'm really excited. And so here's the deal. We looked at all of this stuff in verses 12 through 17 last week, and about how we're supposed to be compassionate, kind, humble, meek, patient, loving, forgiving, all of these things towards one another. Those things also apply to marriages, all right? So marriage is something that has been set up by God. If you go all the way back to Genesis 2, you don't have to flip there, but Scripture talks through the fact that God made Adam and Eve, and he's got Adam laying there in the garden. He says, it's not good that man should be alone, puts him to sleep, takes a rib from him, and forms and creates woman, forms and creates Eve, which is like crazy to think about. Like, that just blows my mind. All right, so he makes man and woman, and then he says, all right, for this reason, like he puts them together, and he says, for this reason, man shall leave his father and mother and cling to his wife. Like, so he's setting up what marriage is supposed to look like. He's setting up what it means to be married. It means you leave your parents because now you and this other person, you guys are going to go start your own family. And that's how things kind of will proceed from there. The crazy thing is when Adam wakes up, like after he's asleep, because he's just been hanging out with like lions and giraffes and like zebras and geckos and stuff like that and naming all the animals. All right, just hanging out. And he's like, all these animals have like someone to be with and I don't have anyone. And so that's when God says, all right, let's do this. So he wakes Adam up. Adam, he opens his eyes and he sees Eve. And the very first thing that he does is like he begins to sing. So the first thing that we see, like it's just like, oh, like how many of you, don't be like, let's be honest in here. You're sitting, you're minding your own business, you're at the mall, you're in class, you're in the hallway, you're hanging out with your family somewhere at dinner, all right? And like a boy walks by and you go, oh, like, and it's this moment. Or a girl walks by and you go, oh, like, and it's this moment where you're like, I am interested in you. I wish that was our first impulse, that whenever we saw somebody that we thought was attractive, that like there was this impulse that we had no control over that was like, hi, I'm really interested in you. Oh no, it happened again. Where like you just had like all of your feelings, like they just started coming out of you, right? And here's the thing, for some of you boys and some of you girls, that does happen to you, where you're just like, hi, my name is, here's the thing. How many of you have ever, boys, how many of you have ever asked a girl to a dance in here? How many of you? There's like four of you. Hey, way to go. Way to go, guys. Here's the thing that is the most terrifying, and I will tell you this. I only asked one girl to like, and it wasn't even a dance. It was like this weird non-dance formal event because we went to a school that didn't allow dancing because they're holy. So. I remember having to try to ask this girl to just go with me, like, together. And it was just like, hi, I just wanted to know if you wanted to, because, I mean, I think you're, like, you look real good. I mean, you look okay. I mean, you look better than okay. You look fine. Do you want to go to the thing with me? Okay, cool. Yes? Maybe? Okay, oh, we'll talk about it later? Okay, great. Okay, bye. Right? That person was Brittany. All right? That person was Brittany. That I, my, like, all of a sudden, I'm, like, trying to just play it cool, and, like, all of these words, like, start coming out, like, I think you know, you look real nice. And so me joking about, like, I think you're attractive. Oh, no. Like, that was me, all right? That was me. Boys, girl, like, it will happen to you, and there's nothing you can do about it. You just need to walk away or run. Just run, all right? Just run, all right? The best way to ask somebody a dance is this way. Hi, I think you're really cute. Would you like to go to the dance with me? Okay, bye. My Instagram name is this. You can message me there, yes or no. Okay, bye. That's probably the best way. The safest way before anything else comes out of your mouth. Anyways, so we're talking about this. This is important, all right? Here we go. Verse 18 of chapter 3. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and do not be harsh with them. Stop. These two verses are so important. And these two verses sometimes are two of the verses that get taken out of context or pushed for the wrong reasons in a lot of places. So here's the deal. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord. This is not stating anything about equal worth or value, right? Because all the way back in Galatians 3:28, Paul already was talking about there is neither slave nor free, there is Greek nor Jew, there is, like, all are one in Christ. So this does not somehow make men higher than women or women lower than men. That is not the way that God has designed us to be. Like, the thing is that at the very beginning when God created Adam and Eve, he made man and woman in his image. So together, we reflect God. All right? It's not that one reflects God more, and it's not reflect that one reflects God less somehow. That is not the way that Scripture intends it. But at the same time here, the way that this is being phrased back in the day to these people is this is the way that wives were typically treated back in ancient times. Wives were considered property. They did not have a say in the things that happened. Like, it was, you want to talk about equality, you want to talk about having a voice. It did not exist in this Roman culture, in this era. And so whenever Paul is writing this, he points to the fact that there needs to be mutual obligation for both to one another. Like, that husbands, right? That's why he begins to hit on this. Love your wives and do not be harsh with them. There is this mutual love, mutual respect, mutual affection for one another where they are taking care of the other. It is all about giving up the desire to control the other person. It's about putting the other person's interest first. And so that's basically what this is saying. If you flip back over to the book of Ephesians, Paul actually expounds on this a little bit more. He literally almost writes the exact same thing, but he just talks about it more. In verse 22 of chapter 5, this is one book to the, two books to the left. You go back to Philippians and then go back to Ephesians chapter 5, 22. Jesus says this, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church." So he's hitting both husbands and wives here. Back in the day, it was all about the guy. Like, ladies, I can't even tell you how far ahead of the time that this book is whenever we look at the culture that it was laid out in. It's absolutely crazy that the husband would be willing and have to give up his own life for his wife. Like that they would be cared for and loved and seen as equal value to the point where you would give up your life for the woman that you were married to. That did not happen. That did not happen. Like, women were barely allowed to speak, if at all. And what Scripture continues to get at, what Paul is talking about here, like, there is this mutual seeking the benefit of the other. Marriage and those relationships are all about, I am going to make sure that I do everything in my power to love the other person as best as I possibly can, because they are seen as valuable and worthwhile in Jesus' eyes, because he's made us that way. And so here's the thing with these relationships, this idea of mutual obligation, where you are called to seek the other's good. He's talking about the fact that he's saying, okay, wives, this whole idea of like submit to your husband, he's talking about like give up, you need to be able to give up the desire that so easily creeps up to control your husband and what he does. Don't be controlling. On the other side, he says, husbands, your love for your wife, you must put her interests first. In a culture that doesn't really ever think about what does the wife or what does the woman want? What are her interests? What are her desires? What are her hopes? Those things weren't even considered back then. And so this is like radical and crazy, the fact that this would be handed down to the men in this society that are like, put your wife's desires above your own. That's totally backwards to where this is coming from. They lived in a world where that was not normal. And I think that transposes to our current culture, where the idea of dating is about what can that person do for me? Does that make sense? You guys following me? You guys with me? Good? Oh, yeah. If you're with me, say, oh, yeah. Okay. The idea of dating today, a lot of it is, what can that person do for me? What do they have that will be beneficial to me? Status, money, skills, family, whatever. Like, skills? No, I said skills, not Skittles. However, if they have Skittles, probably a keeper, all right? Probably a keeper. No, I said skills. Skills. Thank you. Thank you for making me clarify. That was good. It is all about, like, here's the other thing. Here's the crazy thing. A lot of people, and you've seen this before, have, like, a list, right? Well, do they meet the list? He has to do this and 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 this. Well, she needs to meet this criteria and this criteria and this criteria and this criteria. And it's all about, like, do they meet my checklist so that I get what I want? When that is not what Scripture calls us to. That's not what this looks like. Marriage, the higher form of dating, what that looks like, is about loving the other person to the point where you would be willing to give up your life for them. It's crazy. And so, as Scripture calls us to this kind of mutual obligation where you're supposed to care for one another, it's all about figuring out, I wrote this down, because I think this is important, and I think this is one of the hardest things for people to learn. Don't be bitter or angry when the person you've chosen to be with turns out to be like you, human, and not merely the projection of your hopes and fantasies. Does that make sense? Don't be bitter or angry when the person you've chosen to be with turns out to be like you, human, and not merely the projection of your hopes and fantasies. Here's the thing. We build up people in our minds to be like perfect or amazing or whatever. And then here's the reason why most relationships fail, because we spend more time with them. and we get to actually see who they are. And here's the thing. If you spend any length of time with somebody, you are going to get to know them more deeply and more personally, and you're not only just going to see the nice, bright, shiny sides of them, but you're going to begin to see the parts of them that they struggle with, the sinful parts of them, the things that they deal with, like tendencies, whatever that is. And that's why most relationships fall apart. That's why it's so dangerous. Well, I wouldn't even say dangerous, but I would say that it's cheap to say, I have a relationship or we're dating, when the only way that you talk to each other is like after 7 o'clock at night and you just text each other. And that's it. That's the only interaction that you have. What are you doing? Nothing. Cool. What are you doing? Nothing. Cool. Great. Glad you have a boyfriend and girlfriend. Awesome. Great. Okay. Love you. Good night. Bye. Great. Do this again tomorrow. What is that? That's gross. What is that? That just came out. I don't know what happened. Sorry. That's how I feel about that. Marriage in Scripture is something that is not to be taken lightly. From the very beginning, like, you're going to leave your family for this. Like, I love my family. I love hanging out with them. I love being with them. Like, this is normal. This is a part of my life. I'm going to leave the comfort of my home. I'm going to leave what's normal to me so that way I can go be with this person who I say that I love and I care for. And I'm going to give up everything for him or for her, and we're going to make this work. The ultimate marriage relationship points both of these people at the same time to Jesus, back to Jesus. That you would create an environment, a space in your relationship that points one another to Jesus. That is a safe place for you to be honest and open about the fact that both of you are human and sinners and you mess up, but it's allowing for the other person to love you well enough to help you look more like Jesus. How many of you, don't raise your hand again, feel like if you are in a relationship, that's what's happening? Or are you just in a relationship because it makes you feel good? Or you don't want to say that you're single, right? Because that's bad? Why? Says who? Paul talks about in other of his writings and other of his letters, like, if you are single, great. Maybe stay that way. Like, maybe God can use you better that way. Dating, relationships, marriage, all of those things should funnel through the idea of, is this what God has for me? Like, am I able to be used for the kingdom? Am I able to do the things I know that I need to be doing for him? So here's the deal. For those of you that are dating, I'm not saying that you're in the worst relationship of all time and you should probably, like, get out of it. What I'm saying is that you should ask these questions first. And whatever the answer is, then you may need to follow through. And that can be scary, all right? And we'll talk a little bit more about that next week, and just about our hearts and being careful in who we give our hearts to and how we give those out, and all of those things. But here's the deal. In all of this, I want you to know that Jesus loves you. And the fact is, again, your relationship with God is primary. First and foremost, before any of your friendships, before any of your dating relationships, before any of those things, like, you need to make sure that you're chasing after Jesus. Because here's the thing, as you get close to people, if you are dating someone, if you eventually get married to someone, if that happens, like, you are going to continue to spend more and more and more time with them, and you're going to see more and more and more how that person is not perfect, all right? You want to know the first thing that I learned whenever I got married, like, and I learn it almost every single day, is that I'm a selfish person. I want to do with my time what I want to do. I want to go do this. I want to go do that. And guess what? In a marriage relationship, it's about you laying down those selfish desires, those things that you want to do, and say, what do you want to do? How can I help you? How can I love you better? But then here's the thing. You do that, it's almost like you're jumping off a cliff, trusting that person is going to be doing the exact same thing for you. Because if both people are loving each other so well that they lay their own desires down and they only care about the other person, everyone is always taken care of. And that's the way that Jesus has made this to be. Dating, being boyfriend, girlfriend, relationships, all of those things, like in our culture, are designed to see, can we, are we compatible, should we get married? And for most of us, the answer is probably no. I think that if you enter or think about the question before you enter any relationship, anytime you date anyone, somebody slides you a note. Should we, let's go out, circle yes or no, like anything like that, all right? Before you even do that, you'd be like, would I want to marry this person? And if your answer is immediately, ew, gross, no, probably not. Probably not. So let me pray for y'all. I know this was a lot. Let me pray for you guys. We're going to sing. We're going to worship because God's good. And so let me pray for y'all. Jesus, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the fact that you have created marriage to be something that reflects the way that you see us. Marriage reflects your chasing after us, your view of us. And that ultimately a marriage is just a shadow of the picture of what Jesus has done for the church. That Jesus laid his life down for the church, gave himself up for her. Lord, would you help us to think through these things critically? If we're in relationships or if we're in a situation even now that like that isn't growing us, that isn't honoring to you, that isn't something that is for your name and for your glory, would you help us to have the courage to be honest about that and to have good conversations with the people that we're with? Would you help protect us from those things? And ultimately, God, we want to live our lives according to your will and according to your promises and your word. So we love you. In your name we pray.